make statements that we don't know that we're making. By you all being here today, you're making a statement that, yes, there may be bad weather, but we know who spoke to the storm. And just because someone else is not here, it doesn't mean they're not believing, but we just stepped out. We're coming. And as pastor here, I did that one time. I canceled service. And sometimes I think I'm still getting whipped right now because it cleared up and it was just as beautiful as anything. And I said, no, not no more. We coming. If it takes us out, but now he gives you some common sense. Now he does that. He does that. He gives you some common sense. He gives you some common sense. But if it looks like, well, we gonna, and if just in case, I'm saying this for just in case you rode by yesterday and you saw that sign up out there on the marquee, no Bible study, that's, look at it today. We'll have Bible study Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock and Wednesday at 6 o'clock. So we are in Bible study this week. Last week we were not here because we were in the annual session, and we had a joyous time in the Funac Spring with Moderator Wood and the rest of the district. And we just thank God for all that went on, and God's still blessing. Amen. And I'm glad some of y'all wasn't there because y'all had to go to work, and I need y'all to continue to go to work. I need y'all to do that because some of us are still may get another Social Security check, and we want you to go to work. We need you to do that. Amen. Amen. I'll ask you for today's message to keep your Bible open because we're gonna buffet it today. We're going to have a smorgasbord. We're going to use Galatians 5, 6, and 7 as our base scripture, but we have 6 points, and we're going to go to other passages of the Bible, and all of them are in the New Testament. So if you don't know anything about the Old Testament, we're going to stay in the New Testament today. But you got to get the old before you can get, so you can have the new. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. This passage of scripture tells us, it gives us the answer to conquering the lust of the flesh. It is the Holy Spirit of God. It can conquer it because if we allow it to, he will take us and mold us the way that God will need us to believe. The believer is to walk in the presence and in the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the only conceivable way to keep from fulfilling the lust of the flesh. No person has the power to control the lust of his flesh. I know you, your own man and your own woman, you do just like you want to do. But you do not have the power to control the lust of your flesh. That's why you keep doing some of the things, help me, Holy Ghost, that you're doing. And you know that they're wrong, but you have not turned them over to God. And when you turn them over to him, he will help you to control them. But you can be planted in good soil. And you can watch the growth of the message, the growth of the body. The title of our message today is growth. Growth. Define growth as changing from the way that I used to be. I use a lot of time tomato plants and collard greens as my example a lot of times. And you cannot plant tomatoes today and eat tomatoes today. You got to watch them grow. Brothers and sisters, and that's the way that we are in this walk with God. In Sunday school this morning, they talked about the animals that God told Abraham to bring for the sacrifice. And he told them to wait till they all he had. He could only bring those that were 3 years old. To me, I figured out why. It's one word called maturity. You got to grow. You got to grow. You are not as holy as you are going to be if you stay planted in this word. You have to be planted in order to grow. Point number one. In order to grow, you have to go to God daily in prayer. You got to go. Go to God daily in prayer. John chapter 15, verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my word abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You got to go. You got to go to God daily. If the only time you pray is Sunday, you are missing something. You need to go to God daily and several times during the day. If you are planted in this word, you're going to pray. You're going to talk to Lord God Almighty. These that are attached to God are the branches. And the results of the promises made to them is that if ye abide in me, abide. Abide. Abide is another word for tabernacle. And tabernacle is another word for live within. You got to get this word and allow this word to abide in you. That's what changes me. If you can take one of those Georgia collard plants and when you buy it from Lowe's, it's already a collard plant. But if you don't take it out of what it's in and plant it in some good soil, you won't eat a whole lot of collards off of that plant. Those leaves, when you plant it in good soil, they'll get so big and so grow so much, you have to come along and you have to crap some of them off. And you have to eat them. That's what you do when you are planted in this word. God bless you. Amen. With so much stuff, somebody else come along and just crap off. And guess what you do? You replenish yourself. Why? I'm glad you asked. I heard you. You stay planted in this word. When you are planted in this word, you study this word, you pray and you constantly talk to God. If ye abide in me, Jesus is telling us something. If you abide in me, if you get in me and allow me to get in you. See, that's why we have two organisms, two beings in us. We are the old and we're the new. I know one thing. I'm glad that I'm not the old. Because if I was the old, I would not be standing here talking to you now. I would be someplace else doing something else. Probably now, probably watching the football game. But because I have been planted in this word. Don't y'all worry. I'm going to let y'all go because I'm going to watch some too. Because since we don't have the choir union, we don't have the choir union today. I'm going to get a chance to watch some today too. But this word is more important. If we allow this word to be planted in us, I'm glad you asked. How do I do that? I attend Sunday school. I attend Bible study. I attend senior women mission. Women, I attend any place where they are teaching this word of God. And just because you may be a teacher this time, you don't have to be a teacher every time. You can be a student and you can absorb the word of God because God has more than one teacher. But Jesus is our teacher. He is the supreme teacher. He is the master teacher. He is the shepherd. The rest of us are the under shepherds. Because if we abide in him, and allow him to abide in us, he'll bless you. And then you can in turn bless somebody else. So to grow in this word, we have to go to God daily in prayer. And when you go to him in prayer, all he's going to do is nourish you. He's going to give you what you need to grow. Sometimes that what we need to grow is for us to take it. This is the way I make Dwight Baggett do it. I put my tongue. There comes a time when you need to not say anything. You need to put your tongue between your teeth and bite down on it. The harder you bite, the more it's going to hurt, and the less you're going to try to talk. If you stay rooted and grounded in this word, he'll let you know when you ought to speak up or shut up. He will let you know, and I know shut up's a bad word, be quiet. Be quiet. He'll let you know that. But if we stay in this word, he'll lead you and guide you where he needs you to go. Sometimes he'll take you down a path and you will think you're lost. But keep walking and trusting and keep praying and talking to him. And after a while, you'll see just what you're looking for. You have to go to him daily in prayer. Point number two. Read and study God's word daily. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. These were more noble than those of Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. And don't miss this. And search the scripture daily whether these things were so. That's why I tell you to study your Bible. That's why I tell you to bring it with you. To see whether I'm telling you the truth or not. If you didn't bring it, it's probably one under the chair. And see whether I'm coming from this word of God. If you read and study this word daily, then you will know for yourself. That's why you need to study. And then when you assemble yourself, that's why you need to come sometime other than when 11 o'clock. Because right now you can't stop and ask me questions. But at Bible study or Sunday school, you can do that. We can discuss it and we can talk about this word of God. We need to read it and study it daily. Now, you notice I did not just say read. Because I got, there's two books I'm reading right now. One is about Before His Time by Jim Green, and the other one is The Devil of the Grove. And I can't tell you too much about them because I'm just reading them. I know the gist of what they're about. Don't just read this Bible. Study this Bible. When you study this Bible, if you happen to come by here and you come in my office and I'm working on my message, don't look at and take away from there everything you see, because you'll see books laying on the floor. I open one here and I read something, then I drop it on the floor and I go get another one. They're all over the place. You need something else other than this when you study it, because it'll run you to someplace else. Most of them will run your reference. If you study, then you ought to write something down so you can go back and look at it so you can take it and apply it to your life. Read and study God's word daily. When you do that, God will help you to grow in this word. Paul is telling them in Acts that some of them just take what he said. But he said those Bereans, they looked the scripture up based upon what Paul said, because he was teaching from the Old Testament. So therefore, you have to have something reference to go on. You have to know this. If you're going to grow, you have to read and study God's word. You can't just take everything that the pastor says, not that he's not telling you the truth, but you need to know some things for yourself. Don't let all that you know about God is what you hear me tell you. You ought to study for yourself. Study this word for yourself. And listen, I know this for a fact with me. I read a lot in the Bible before I studied the Bible. I know you got to start somewhere, and reading is a good place to start. But after a while, you need to just study this word of God. Don't just everything you know, don't let it be the preacher saying, the teacher saying. No, you study it for yourself and know some things about this word for yourself. Point number three. Obey. Obey God moment by moment. John chapter 14, verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Obey. Obey. Obey God moment by moment in your life. And that's something that I don't know about y'all. I kind of find hard to do sometimes. Because to obey God sometime goes against this flesh that I'm in. And I know that might not fit you because you've been holy all your life. But there are some of us that to obey God, we have to work at that thing. Because this flesh that we're in tells us to do something else. This week I drove back and forth to the Funiac Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. That got kind of difficult Friday. Just telling the truth. And I knew I needed to be there, but it got kind of difficult. I had to tell my flesh, you just lay down here and you can rule someplace else. I'm going to get up and I'm going. And to be there at 10 o'clock and stay there till 9 o'clock at night. Yeah, no, I know y'all, that would have been no problem for some of y'all, but that was a problem for me. I do it every year. But seem like the longer I do it, the more difficult it becomes. And I know why, Pastor Stalwart. My flesh. See, the longer you work with God, the more of your flesh dies. It dies. It has to die. And I know when you say he's the all time. My wife probably say, well, you sure didn't act like it. You just got up and left. Say, I'm gone. But I had to kill. My flesh had to lay down because I wanted to not do that. But because of this word living in me, and I have to obey God because I'm not my own. I know what Christ paid for me. And so therefore I have to be obedient to his word. When you come to Christ, you accept a new way of life. Light shines within you. You become a different person. And Christ is called the light of this world. So he comes alive in our lives. So therefore we shine and we're different. Because we are allowing the light to shine. It's day outside, and if you turn all the lights off in here, there still will be daylight in here, but there will be a certain amount of darkness in here. That's what Christ does to us. He shines within us. And so therefore, we have a light. We illuminate because this word changes us from being total darkness because we allow this word to come in our heart. Our heart becomes a heart where God can reside. We allow him to tabernacle within us when we obey his word. You have to obey him. And if you're not obedient, you're going to get disciplined. You'll get disciplined. Or you will get punished. Depends on your definition. I like to call it discipline because I think I'm his. And I say he's my father and he disciplined me when I mess up. But if I keep misbehaving, he gonna punish me. It's gonna begin to hurt. You have to obey him. And you sometimes when he disciplines you, he doesn't have to beat you up real bad. Some of our children, some parents never have to spare the rod. They don't spare the rod. They use it. But then some of your children, all you have to do is look at them. Just look at them. Yeah, and they get the message. They get the message. And that's what God does to us sometimes. He just look at you. And you say, yes, sir. And you fall in line. And sometimes when he's looking at you, you want him to just glance. And he won't glance. He just keeps looking. He just keeps looking. And you want to turn your head. And seem like everywhere you turn your head, he's still looking. Because he's getting your attention. He wants you to obey him. And he wants you to know that he knows that you have disobeyed him. And you have to obey it. And you know what? I think every time I get a point like this, I think about a young man. I coach a young man named Wayne Armstrong. He was about 6'11", and his foot looked like it was that long. It wasn't. And he played down on the block on the basketball court, and we would get him the ball for him to turn and shoot it. And he said, Coach, every time I turn, my foot's on the line. I said, well, get your foot off the line. And I kept telling him that, having him to do that over and over again. He finally got the idea that I put my lower foot on the block and I put my other one up here. He was putting this foot on the block and this foot was close to the line. So if he move up, he's still on the block. He just got one foot up. And so then when he got the ball and turned, this foot did not hit the line. And my point in telling you that is God can keep telling you something after a while, and so long that you'll get it, that you got to make an adjustment, but you still going to do just what God said. We want to do it like we want to do it. And God said, do it my way. Keep doing it. You have to do it the way God would have you to do it. Just keep doing it. Obey him, knowing that he will not tell you to do something that's wrong. Amen. You have to know that. And when you get to that point, you will obey him. Point number four. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Point number four. Witness for Christ by your life and your works. Witness for Christ by your life and your works. These men were called by Christ to be a witness for him. Now, I don't want you to miss this point. He didn't call men that were on their stool of do nothing. He called men that were already busy doing something. I guess that's why the other 80% said, I don't have to do anything. They'll do it all. But you got a part to do, too. You got to become those that are busy doing the works of God. He called them to make them witness for him. He does not call. In my message, in my writing here, I wrote a big word. I was being nice. I said he did not call non-industrial people. But what I really meant, he didn't call lazy people. If you lazy and don't want to do anything, God can't call you, can't use you because you don't want to do anything. But some of us, we think that we are lazy. We just have not been motivated right to show that we are industrial people, that we are busy and we can do things. And sometimes a lot of people that's busy are not doing anything. They just busy. They just busy meddling with everybody else. You need to be doing the work of God. We said point number four was witness for Christ by your life and works. The works that you're doing need to be works that God would have you to do. And the life that you live need to be a life that God would look at and others would look at and see Christ in your life and draw them to Christ, not to you. I don't want anybody to come to God because of me. Because I'm going to lie to you some kind of way, maybe not intentionally. I'm going to deceive you some kind of way, maybe not intentionally. But God will not. If you come because of God, then you're coming for the right reason. Because what you going to do when I die? And unless Christ come back soon, I'm going to leave here. So you need to come because of your love. And that's what he wants. He wants our work and our lives to be a witness for him. If it's not for him, if it's for you and to build up Macedonia, you're doing it for the wrong reason. Do it to build up the kingdom of God. If everybody that I witness to would come to Macedonian Missionary Baptist Church at 603 MLK, some of you wouldn't get a chance to get in here because you don't get here till 11:15. So what am I saying? You need to just witness to people because of Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter where they go to church, you tell them about Christ. He says he has no respect of person. If you lift up Christ and it draws them to Christ, you have done what thus saith the Lord. Your works and your life is a witness for him. You need to witness because of what Christ have done for you. Those men that he called, the first ones that he, when he was walking by the sea to call, they were busy doing stuff. We said that. But if you notice, they were all family. Calling brothers that's working. And they had to be, they had to be from a family that had instilled within them, do things, do something, do something, do something, get busy, and do something for the glory of God. And he called them and they kept right on working for him. Sometime when he called you, you may have to move. You may have to leave from where you are. You may have, because you're answering his call, you're going to leave spiritually. But sometimes you may have to leave physically. Everybody that God called doesn't have to come to Macedonia. There are other churches that's teaching and preaching the word of God. All God wants us to do is tell somebody about his saving grace and do the work of him that sent us. Don't do your own. Witness. And he wants you to be a witness. Be a witness. That means a little bit more than just talking about it. When they see you in the streets, you need to be a witness. See, sometimes you don't have time to talk to people about God. Your life ought to be a witness. I read a sign several years ago on one of the churches said, I finally got a chance to witness by talking. That meant that they had been witnessing all the rest of the time with their lives. See, every now and then, your life ought to be a witness to somebody. And then you get a chance to tell somebody about this saving grace. Sometimes our lives are better witness than our words are. Because some of us might not be equipped with words to witness to somebody, but watch them live and see how they live. That's why you hear me tell you every now and then, hide and watch me live and see if I'm doing anything wrong. See if I'm living the way God would have me to live. Then we are being a witness for him. He requires us to witness. You go and you tell them. And after you tell them, it's left up to them whether they come or not. Then, number five, trust God for every detail in your life. Trust God for every detail in your life. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. When Peter wrote this to the Jews that were scattered abroad, those people that were scattered had to pack up and leave everything that they had for their life. They had to leave home, job, family, all their clothing and all that. They had to leave that so they could continue to live. They could have stayed where they were. But see, every now and then, God stirs up something.
Yeah,
And somebody leaves when there's a stir up. If something goes wrong in Macedonia, there're gonna be some people that get mad and leave. And they might not have to get mad to leave. They may just be time for them to leave. But when they leave, they go and they still serve the same God. This is what happened here. Those people left, they had to leave their home, but when they left and went to those five countries that they went to, they were still teaching and preaching the word of God. God is the same. Wherever God is, he's the same. He does not change. We should humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Because he is going to exalt the humble because he cares for them. You have to know that when you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, God will exalt you. Don't wait for man to exalt you. Humble yourself and let God exalt you. When God exalts you, if God exalts you, they can't take you down because they did not exalt you. But if you trust in God and you lean and you depend on him, God will provide just what you need. They may try to stop it, but God will provide. If God provides, can't nobody take it away from you. They may try. They may work hard, and it may seem like they have succeeded, but you keep trusting God. When you don't see your way, saying, I will trust in the Lord. Order my steps. Help me to go where you need me to go because I'm trusting in you. When you cannot see your way, if you're going to grow, you have to trust in God. You trust in God when you don't see anything. When I know that nothing else seemed to be working. God, I'm trusting in you. You promised me that you would not leave me nor forsake me. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm trusting in you. Lord, I need you to help me. And he'll tell you, stay the course. Don't leave. Stand on the word of God. If you stand on the word of God, everything else may fall, but the word of God will not go any place. Thank you, Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will lean and depend on God to get me through this. I'm planted in the word of God, and I'm going to trust God. It may seem like everything that's happening is happening for bad, but I'm going to trust in the Lord. Body may be aching with pain, but he said, I'll heal you. I'm trusting you to heal me, Lord. Son and daughter might not be acting right, but I'm trusting in you, Lord. Husband may be acting contrary and crazy, but I'm trusting in you. I'm laying them on the altar. Church folks just won't act right. God, I'm trusting in you. You said they're yours. They're not mine. I'm trusting in you, Lord. I have to trust you because I don't know what to do and I don't know which way to turn, but I will trust in the Lord with all my might. You got to trust in him when you think you know and when you think you don't know. You have to trust in the Lord. If you trust in him, everything will be all right. Listen, I got to get out your way. Point number six is the Holy Spirit allows God to control and empower your daily life. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the utmost parts of the world. God said he'd send the Holy Spirit, and he did just what he said. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. He'll comfort you when everything else goes wrong. The Holy Spirit is an equipper. He will equip you with the power that he has within himself. God is an all-sufficient God. I don't know which one of those big Greek words it is, but it means God, the all-sufficient, meaning that he needs nothing that he does not have within himself. If the Holy Spirit resides within me when my body's aching with pain, he's my doctor in a sick room. He He's my lawyer in a courtroom. He's all sufficient. He's equipping me to do just what he needs me to do. And then the task that I have to do is be a witness for him. I have to stand up and tell a dying world that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. I love him because where he brought me from, not just that, but where he's going to take me to, he's going to take me to glory, because he said in his word, he said, I will not leave you nor forsake you, meaning that when he comes back, I'm going to be ready. That's why I'm working down here now. That's why I'm being a witness for him right now. That's why I go to him daily in prayer. That's why I read and study his word. That's why I obey him. That's why I'm going to be a witness. That's why I'm going to trust him, because he gave me the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me. Listen to me. Please, ma'am, and please, sir, trust in the Lord. When everything else seems lost, trust in God. Trust in God. And because you're planted, you are not where you are now, where God is going to have you when he takes you out of here. You will trust him more because you will stay planted in his word. I took the other day and went down to Lowe's and picked up me 9 Georgia collard plants. I planted them. And I've been checking on them almost every day. It's been raining, so I have not had to water them. But I got some water in a bucket sitting out there just waiting for it to dry up so I can water them. Take and bank them up. Put 7 dust on them to keep the worms off of them. Gonna probably put some mothballs out there to try to keep the armadillos and the squirrels and the rabbits from eating them up. I'm gonna do stuff to protect them. I'm gonna feed them. I'm gonna put some Miracle-Gro around them. I'm gonna do things for them so they can get nourishment from the soil. Hey, I'm somewhere. I'm planted in this word, and God is gonna nourish me. God's gonna bank me up. Listen, I know some of you may know this, but after a while around here, when collard greens, we gonna, all of us that have them, if we've been giving you a mess of them, there's gonna come a time when you ask us for a mess and we're gonna tell you, no, we ain't gonna give them to you. And I can tell you why. We're giving them time to really mature. We bank them up and we leave them alone. We let the weeds and the grass and everything grow up around them. But see, after a while, we'll come in there and we'll clean them out. Won't put no fertilizer to them. Just let them nourish themselves from the ground that we have prepared for them. That's why I put that Miracle-Gro fertilizer in that soil and turn it under and keep turning under and plant them in that soil so it'll keep feeding them. This is it. This is it. Brothers and sisters, if you get planted in this word, I promise you God will feed you. When the devil thinks he got you, God done build up something on the inside of you where your roots going down into his word. That's why you have to study this word, so you can hide his word in your heart, that you might not sin against him. You have to trust in him. Growth is a process. You have to go through it. You start off as a little baby and you grow in this word. You keep growing and God keep feeding you. You keep growing, but you stay planted in the word. that will extend an invitation. If you don't know Jesus and you want to be planted in the Word of God, this is your time. This is your time to come to Christ just as you are. Don't try to change yourself. Don't try to stop what you're doing. Just come. Come just as you are. This word, if you get planted in this word will change you. You can't change God, but if you get planted in this word, growth will take place in your life. Will you come to Christ just as you are? I promise you, Christ will in no wise turn you away. He'll take you just as you are. Will you come to Christ? I beseech you, brother. I beseech you to come to Christ. If you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, I implore you, I encourage you, come to Christ. I'm a living witness. He'll take you just as you are.